Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and picking up in verse 11, I'm going to read 11 through 13. And verse 11, faithful is the word, for if we died with him, also we shall live. If we died together, also we shall live together. If we endure, also we shall reign together. If we deny, also that one shall deny us. If we are unfaithful, that one remains faithful. He is not able to deny himself. So here in this portion, Paul begins with a little statement, faithful is the word, or trustworthy, and it refers to what follows. And so what follows are four conditional statements that Paul makes. And he's saying faithful is the word, or faithful is the message. These conditional statements which follow are faithful and trustworthy, are to be understood and believed. And so the first one is, for if we died with, is what we literally have, also we shall live with. And what's implied here, if we died with Christ, then also we shall live with Christ. And the dying here is in the aorist tense, which is the idea of completed action in the past. So if it is already a fact, already a fact, if it is already true of us that in the past we died with Christ, then Paul is saying, if that condition has been met, then he says, then also we shall live with him. So this is a guarantee here to all those who have died with Christ. Paul is positively affirming that in the future we shall live with Christ. And let's look at some passages concerning that. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's start in verse 3. And here Paul says, or are you ignorant that as many as were baptized or identified unto Christ Jesus, talking about being spiritually identified, you were identified or baptized unto his death. And so then in verse 4, Paul says, therefore, if we were entombed with him through the identification unto his death, in order that just as Christ was raised out of the dead through the glory of the Father, likewise also we might walk in newness of life. And then verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, but also we shall be of the resurrection. So here Paul is saying, if it is true, here see, he makes it a conditional statement here in verse 5. If it is true, if we are one whom God has put into Christ, then we have been planted together. We have been with the likeness of his death. If that is true, then Paul is saying we shall be of the resurrection. And then if we go down to verse 8, Paul says, and if we died with Christ, we believe that also we shall live with him. And there we have the same two words, died with and lived with. And the died with is in the past tense, completed action. And the live with is in the future. So all those who are believers by faith, they have, by spiritual identification, been identified with Christ's death. We have died with him. And because we have died with him, then Paul is saying, then if that is true, then it is also true that we will live with him, future tense, and that's talking about the resurrection and glorification. Let's turn to one more passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. And here Paul says, therefore, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things above, not the things upon the earth. Why? For you died. Again, past tense, completed action. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. So our life is with Christ. We are going to live with Christ. Verse 4, and whenever Christ, our life, might be made manifest, then also you yourselves shall be made manifest with Him in glory. So again, those who have died with Christ, we shall live with Christ, because we have that life in us, that resurrection life. And at the resurrection, then we will live with Him in glory. So going back to 2 Timothy. So that's the first conditional statement here Paul makes. Therefore, if we died with Christ, also we shall live with Him. And of course, that is the presumption here, that we have died with Christ as believers. And so if as believers, we have died with Christ, and therefore we shall live with Him. So now verse 12. The second conditional statement here, Paul says, if we endure, also we shall reign with together. So reign with Him. And so here, if we endure, this is in the present tense. So it's not talking about something that we've completed, but something we are doing. In this life, in this present life, if in this present life we are continuously enduring. And what's the idea of enduring? It's the Greek word epomeno, and it literally means, meno means to remain, epo on the front, under, it's the idea of to remain under, or to endure. When you endure something, you remain under. You don't seek relief from it. And what's always in the background of this word is, what are you enduring? It's always affliction or tribulation, suffering. Suffering, affliction, or tribulation. And it's always in connection with our faith, our trust in Christ. And here in the context, what's Paul been dealing with? Suffering for the gospel. And so when he's talking to Timothy here, and what did he tell Timothy right at the beginning? He said, he talked about him being a genuine child in faith. So that means Timothy has died with Christ. And Timothy is going to live with Christ. But now Paul gets down to what's going on now. And now he says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. And what did Paul just say in verse 10? Paul, look up in verse 10, on account of this I endure all things. And the this here he's referring to is up in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, having been raised out of the dead, out of the seed of David, according to my gospel. On account of this, these things, my gospel, and the resurrection, I am enduring all things. Why is Paul in prison? Because of the gospel. And so, when it talks about if we endure, putting it in the context of 1 Timothy, what has Paul been exhorting Timothy to do? To suffer affliction with the gospel. And to not be ashamed. And so, here, what he's instructing Timothy, and what we are being instructed is, if we endure for the sake of the gospel, and that we are not ashamed, so that we don't compromise on the truth, to get relief from the affliction, but we endure the affliction as we stand for the truth. If we do that, then we will reign with Christ. Now, see, we have two different things. It's one thing to live with Christ, and it's another thing then, as those living with Christ, to reign with Him. We're talking about the kingdom of God now, a heavenly kingdom. A kingdom is a government. Christ is head over that kingdom. He is the supreme authority of that kingdom. Those who are in Christ, members of the body of Christ, are all going to have various functions within that kingdom. And it's only those who endured who are going to have positions of authority in that kingdom, because they are faithful and trustworthy. That's why Timothy, look in verse 2. Paul told Timothy, which things you heard from me, commit to faithful men, trustworthy men. Men that can be trusted to endure, not to be ashamed, that will suffer evil for the gospel. So here, verse 12, Paul saying, if we in the present tense endure, then in the future tense we shall, in that future heavenly kingdom, reign with Christ. We will not just live with Him, but we shall also reign with Him. These are all things that are determined at the judgment seat, when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And part of the things we receive back in terms of judgment are these different positions of authority according to what we have done as believers. So then we go on into the third conditional statement, and it says, if we deny, that one shall deny us. Also that one shall deny us. So the denying, if we deny, again, this is in the present tense. So these are the two options. These are the things that are being just juxtaposed, opposite of one another. Enduring on the one hand, if we endure, we shall reign. What if we don't? What if we don't endure? What is that? If we deny, speaking of the truth. Remember Peter in the garden, or Peter outside the gate of the temple, Jesus was arrested. Remember, Jesus told me, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows? Oh, no way, Lord. And he did. He denied him. But, you know, Peter got a free pass there, because that was before the cross and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I think he gets a pass on all that. A lot different Peter afterwards. And he was willing to suffer afterwards and had joy in that, being counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the Lord. So here, if we deny the truth, and I think this is in the air, if we compromise the gospel rather than being willing to suffer, rather than endure sufferings in standing for the gospel, then when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ, He is going to deny us. What is He going to deny us? Any kind of, see, that's juxtaposed. Deny us what? Well, any ruling with Him. We'll live with Him, but we will not rule with Him. We will be part of the whatever. So then in verse 13, goes on to the fourth conditional statement. And here he says, if we are unfaithful, and really that is what God looks at, faithfulness. If we are unfaithful, he said, that one remains faithful. He is not able, he does not have the ability to deny himself. So God, regardless of what we do, because we're saved by grace, not by our works, God still remains faithful to his promise to those whom he has saved, regardless of what happens. They will live with him. Those who died with him will live with him. God will remain faithful, because Christ has paid that price, paid for those sins. And so that becomes full circle. So you have the first and the last conditional statement relate to one another. If we died with him, also we shall live with him. If we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. That's why if we died with him, Paul can say, we will live with him, because all that in between, nothing will affect it. God remains faithful. But then you have the two conditional statements in the middle, which relate to the judgment seat of Christ and reward. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny, that one shall deny us. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. So we see how this all, we want, the main thing we need to do is always realize how this is all tying into the context of 2 Timothy here and what Paul is talking about. Let's look at some things in terms of this endurance. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. So in Romans chapter 5, and if we start in verse 1, Paul says, therefore, having been justified out of faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have had the entrance by faith into this grace in which we have stood. And we boast upon the hope of the glory of God. Okay, so here, what are we boasting in? Rather than our, we boast in the hope of glory. As Paul says, what is the rich extravagance of the mystery? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's that whole idea that if we died with him, we shall also live with him in glory. And so that's future. That's why it's a hope of glory, not a reality of glory yet. We don't have a reality of glory at this time. That's a future reality, so it's a hope of glory. So here Paul says in verse 2, and we boast upon the hope of glory, that future reality of the glory of God. Then verse 3 says, and not only, but also we boast in our afflictions or tribulations. Okay, so now we boast in affliction. And this is talking about the same thing. Paul says we boast in our afflictions. Why would you do that? Well, Paul continues, says, knowing that affliction or persecution or tribulation, however you want to translate it, produces endurance. Okay? So that's where we're talking about endurance. So we have affliction produces, get an arrow here, endurance. See, that's what Paul's talking about in 2 Timothy. If we endure, we shall reign with him. But you can't endure without affliction, right? You got to have the affliction to have the endurance. And that's what Paul is saying here. We boast in our afflictions. Why? It brings about the opportunity for us to endure. Well, why do we need that? Paul goes on, and the endurance produces, so we have endurance produces, I think the King James here might have proven character or something like that. But it's the word that we're going to have in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to show yourself proven. It's the same word. Endurance brings about proof. Or the idea of we're approved. We are proved. As we endure, we're tested. And the endurance proves us. And as we're proved, then we are approved. That results in approved. We are approved to God.
based upon our enduring affliction.
And so that's why Paul boasts in his afflictions, because the affliction brings about the opportunity to endure, and then having endured, it presents you approved to God, an unashamed workman, as we have in 2:15. And then what does that bring about? And the proving hope.
And so now the approval or proving hope. Well, that's where we started up here. We boast in hope. Hope of the glory of God. We also boast in our afflictions, because the afflictions allow us to endure for the gospel. And as we endure, that shows us approved to God. And as we are approved to God, that increases our hope, strengthens our hope. So that ends up in, that still end up in hope. And so this relates to, again, the judgment seat of Christ here comes into play. Because when we are judged for the things we've done in our body, one of the primary things we're going to be judged for was, were we willing to endure affliction? And if we were willing to endure affliction, we are proven and hence approved. And as those who are approved, we have greater hope. Because our hope is enhanced. And then notice in verse 5, and the hope does not make ashamed. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Be diligent, show yourself approved, an unashamed workman. See, hope does not make ashamed. So see, hope and endurance are very closely tied together. If you have no hope, you have no reason to endure anything. The fact that you endure and come out the other end gives you a stronger, I think, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, gives you an even stronger vision of that hope. So looking at some other, just a couple other scriptures, how closely hope and enduring affliction are tied.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's actually just a couple books back from Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 2. Paul says, we give thanks to God always concerning you, making remembrance of you upon our prayers, unceasingly remembering your work of faith and your labor of love, and then notice, and the endurance of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. See there, the endurance that belongs to hope. See, our hope is the whole basis for why we endure. And then let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, kind of like 1 Corinthians 13, it's talking about love. It says love is unhypocritical in verse 9. If we go down to verse 12, rejoicing in hope, and then what's the next one? Enduring affliction. See how the two are tied together there. Rejoicing in hope, enduring affliction. If you're not rejoicing in your hope, how are you going to endure any affliction? You can't. You got no reason to. And, well, we may as well go to 1 Corinthians 13. next book over. First Corinthians 13. And verse 7. And it's talking about what love does. It bears all things. It believes all things. Now notice it hopes all things. And then what comes right after hope? It endures all things. You see, the hope always following the, or during, always following the hope. Now it's interesting then, tying this back into 2 Timothy, and where Paul talks about, I endure all things. 1 Timothy 2:10, let's look at that again. Paul says, on account of this, I am enduring all things. On account of what? Go back to the verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, what? Having been raised out of the dead. See, that's the whole basis for the hope.
Why does Paul endure the suffering for the gospel?
It's all based on the central truth of the gospel, that he has been raised from the dead. Without that, there's no reason to do anything. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, Paul says, and if Christ is preached that he has been raised out of the dead, which that's what Paul was doing, how are some saying among you that there is not a resurrection? So here Paul's reasoning with him, you know. They all apparently believe that Christ has been raised out of the dead. Paul has preached that he's been raised out of the dead. And there's some among them are saying, well, there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. Paul's saying, well, how do you fit those two things together? Verse 13, he said, and if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, consequently, our preaching is empty. And your faith is empty. Verse 15, and we have been found false witnesses of God because we testified contrary to God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, since the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Consequently, also the ones having died in Christ, they have perished. And in this life, only we have our hope in Christ, then we are of all men most to be pitied. And see, again, boils down to the tying between the resurrection and the hope. Paul says, if our hope in Christ only affects us in this life and there's no future resurrection, then we are the biggest losers on the planet. And of course, people—that's what people think, because they don't believe Christ has been raised, and they look at us like we're a bunch of clowns, you know. But the fact is, he has been raised, and so going back to 2 Timothy, that's how Paul was able to endure affliction, being convinced of that truth. And Paul was convinced of that truth because he had seen the Lord. He was a witness of the resurrection. But we also have that witness in ourselves. And we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So Paul saying, I endure all things on account of this, what? Jesus Christ, having been raised out of the dead, out of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And based on that, then, in verse 11, he can say, if we died with Christ, we shall live with him, because he has risen. And That is something we can bank on. That's what the basis of our hope. That's why we endure for the sake of the gospel. And so that's and that is where we get the power to live. That we have that resurrection power now by the indwelling Holy Spirit, where we have died to sin and we're alive to God. And so we do experience resurrection life now, but our body is still not resurrected, not glorified.